Today we're going to be looking at Satan's counterfeit of the gospel. I don't know if you know this or not, but every good gift that God has given to mankind, Satan has a counterfeit of it. That means it's worth something. The promises God has given you in His Word, Satan has a counterfeit of every single one. And the same thing is true in our relationship with God. Instead of relationship, Satan wants to give you religion. And religion is going to do you absolutely no good if you don't first have a relationship. So we're going to stand together and honor God as we read Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 18. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" Jesus answered, "How can the guest of the bridegroom fast while he's with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins." Father, bless us as we study your word today. Help us to know why you created fasting, how often people were supposed to fast, and why Jesus' disciples were not fasting while he was with them. Father, show us the difference between religion and relationship. And Father, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When our kids were young, one of the things we used to enjoy was going over to Lake Michigan. And on Lake Michigan, you all know there's a long sandy beach. It's just beautiful wherever you go on Lake Michigan almost. And we had a habit. I had some tracks that I used to love to hide in the sand. And you may say, why in the world would you hide a tract in the sand? Who's ever going to see it? But these were special tracks that I and the kids enjoyed doing. They were million-dollar green tracks. It looked just like money. We'd hide it under the sand and leave just a corner of that green sticking up. It'd always be sticking straight up, so you couldn't miss it. And people would come along and see that green, and they'd rush over and grab it, and it's at $1 million. And they were really excited until they realized there is no million-dollar bill. This is a counterfeit. Folks, again, everything that God has given mankind, every good and precious gift, Satan has a counterfeit of every single one. Having a counterfeit does not mean the real thing's not worth anything. The real thing is worth everything. People don't make counterfeits of bubblegum wrappers. Why don't they make counterfeits of bubblegum wrappers? Because there's no value to it. People make counterfeit $20 bills because there really is value to that. People are always trying to pass them off. You never see anybody say, "I got a counterfeit dollar. I hate money. In fact, I'm going home and I'm drawing all my money out of the bank and I'm just going to burn it up. I'm done with money." You never see that. But you do see people that get bruised in the church. I got to tell you, the problem with churches is the people. What's wrong with the people in every church you know of? They're sinners. Folks, God doesn't save perfect people, and God doesn't make perfect people on this earth. We're perfect in our relationship with God, but we're all far from perfect. We hurt each other. And I can't tell you how many people I and Dave talked to. We just had another one this week. "I don't go to church anyplace because back 50 years ago, my family got bruised." Folks, if you're going to go to a church anywhere, I don't care where it is, I don't care what type it is, you're going to get hurt. You're dealing with other people that have a sinful nature. Which way do I want life to go? I want life to go my way. Come on, it's all about me, isn't it? That's the way we're all wired. Now, hopefully we learn a little better than that over time, but the automatic wiring in every human being is, Life is about me. It's what I want. And when that comes into the church, we get saved and we realize life is all about Christ, but we still have that old inner self that says life is about me. Folks, if you think you can go to a church anywhere in this country or anywhere in the world and not get hurt at all, you're sadly mistaken. You can throw the whole thing away as a counterfeit if you want to. But people don't make counterfeits of things that don't have value. God says His church has extreme value. God says His church, and He's not just talking about this church, any good Bible-preaching church. He says it's the pillar and it's the foundation of the truth. Every church you go to, you ought to check what's being preached against what the Word of God says. But really, our local churches are the things that are holding this country together. John Adams said, our form of government cannot work unless it's a moral people that are being governed. What does that mean? That means if we don't have a moral nation, a people that most of the people are trying to do what's right, you can't have the freedoms we have. And we are going to lose those freedoms unless we have revival in our land. And so the Lord is saying, just because somebody does something to you in the church that hurts your feelings, don't give up. It's important that you find a good Bible-preaching church, you become a member of that church, and you serve. Because no person in this church, including me, no person has all the gifts of the Spirit. God made it that way special, so that we need each other. As each part does its work, the whole thing prospers. And so it has value. This has great value. So Satan counterfeits true love, godly love, with lust. You've seen some of the parades this last month. This is what? This is Pride Month. The whole month of June is Pride Month. Folks, do you know that pride in the sight of God brings destruction? Pride and rebellion, pride that I'm going to live my life my way, it's going to bring judgment. It's a sad thing to see. So he counterfeits true love, God's love, with lust. He counterfeits obedience with legalism. We are to obey the Lord, but we don't do it to gain His favor. We don't do it so that we can get saved. We do it because we love the Lord and we believe His promises. It pays to serve the Lord. He counterfeits confidence with the word pride. Pride is, I'm going to do it my way. I am the greatest. No, you're not. God is the greatest, and we need to do it God's way. The greatest counterfeit that's been ever given to mankind is religion instead of relationship. The Bible over and over in the Old Testament talked about men and women that walked with God. They didn't just believe about God, they walked with Him. Folks, that's what God wants. Your relationship to God is relationship, not following a list of rules by this church or this group or that group. It's to be an intimate relationship with God. And once you understand that, you can start to identify the counterfeits pretty quick. When any religion tells you you got five things you have to do, or seven things, or some churches 13 things, these all have to be done or you can't be saved, you ought to be saying hogwash. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches we're saved through faith plus nothing. And as soon as anything gets added to that, you've got religion. And there's so much religion in this world. The religionists want to tell you that the gospel and religion are the same, but they're not. Religion tells you that you have to jump through certain hoops in order to gain eternal life. Relationship says you have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and become a son or daughter of God through faith. Plus, nothing. That's relationship. Folks, it's so hard, and I don't want to say this lightly, there are a lot of good churches in our area, but it's so hard to find a church that sticks with the gospel. When my sister was a little girl and grew up in Saginaw, the old church we went to taught salvation through faith in Christ alone. My sister is 11 years older than me. By the time I came along to that same church, they were teaching you get saved by being a good person. You may say, well, that could never happen here. I'm going to tell you, that can happen in any church. We need to be very careful, very vigilant, that the people in this church know the Word of God. Because when another pastor comes in, they may very well have different views than you've been taught for years. And if you don't know the Word of God yourself, you're going to miss it. And they're going to change the church. So it's so important for you to study yourself. The Bible says you are to study to show yourself a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It sounds so good to say that God just wants you to be good. I've heard that many, many different churches. What God is looking for is just good people. No, He's not. He's looking for people that have trusted Him by faith. Religion will kill you. Religion is man's way of getting to God. If you do this and this and this, you're going to be accepted by God. But if you stop doing this, God's going to cast you away. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Even if you forsake Him, He's not going to forsake you if you're truly born again. When you fall into deep sin, the first question that ought to come to your mind, am I really a believer? We all fall into sin, but the Bible says you can't stay in it if you're truly a Christian. If you can stay in your sin, the first question you ought to get, did I really mean it when I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior? Is He Lord or isn't He? If He is, what does that mean? It means it's time to repent right now. It's time to go back to Him as Lord. So many people want to stay in their sin. I had an older cousin. This is years and years and years ago. I come from a gambling family. We gambled literally about everything. We would gamble all through the night. I'm telling you, we didn't go to bed. I had a cousin that was of a different persuasion than our church. He was a Christian, I believe. He went to a good Bible-preaching church, and they taught you could lose your salvation. And I know that's something we don't believe, but that's what they taught. You could lose your salvation. And so my cousin wouldn't gamble with us at all. He wouldn't drink with us at all until he really got off following the Lord. And then he'd get into sin. And he said, man, as long as I'm lost right now, I might as well really enjoy it. And so he just went hog wild into it until he finally came to his senses and got out of it again. But folks, you don't lose your salvation. You might lose fellowship for a while with the Lord. Two can't walk together lest they what? Lest they be agreed. And God's not going to walk with you in your sin, but all you got to do is repent. He's never going to cast you away. Religion is my power. I earn it. Have you ever heard people say, there's one of those financial companies, we made money the old-fashioned way, we earned it? So many people want to earn their salvation. If you could earn your salvation, Jesus Christ never had to die. If we could earn it, we ought to earn it. But you can't. By the works of the flesh, how many are going to be justified in God's sight? None. By the works of the law, how many are going to be justified in God's sight? None. It's a gift. And I praise the Lord that it's a gift because I can't be perfect. I tried it. I would encourage you sometime, just one day, set aside one day and say, today, I'm going to do everything exactly the way God says I ought to do it. You know how long I lasted? 15 minutes. Lord, the sun's hardly up, and I already. He tapped me on the shoulder and said, Jerry, that right there, that's a sinful thought. And I had to say, boy, I probably didn't even make it to 15 minutes. I probably just thought I did. But I want to tell you, you cannot keep the law. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how much you love the Lord. We all fall short, even as Christians. And so the false religion puts its hope in our efforts, what I do for God. True faith sets its hope in what God has already done for us. Religion is spelled D-O. You do it. Faith is spelled D-O-N-E. It's done. God has already done everything that's needful for me to be saved. All I have to do is believe it. There's not a list of other things to do. Religion promises the same thing that the gospel promises. But religion cannot produce what God produces through faith. And so relationship is what we're looking for. So when we look at this thing together, Satan says to us, you can earn eternal life. The gospel says, no, you cannot. It's not by works of righteousness which we do. It's by what Christ has already done. Some people get disgusted with religion. We run across them every time we go calling. I used to go to church. I went to church for 20 years, but I haven't been back in the church for 30 years. Because there were counterfeits in the church. Big surprise, right? Folks, it's no surprise to me that in the church there are unbelievers. It's no surprise to me that in the church there are those that are believers that'll break your heart. That's reality. That's where we are. We're not going to be perfect till we get to heaven. I rejoice that pretty soon for me, another 20 years on the outside, probably much less, I'm never going to be around sinners again, including me, because I'm going to be changed. I'm going to have a perfect heart. I'm going to always say the right thing. I'm going to always do the right thing. But until that time, folks, you got a pastor that breaks the rules all the time. Try not to, but do. And so religion says jump through the hoops. You've probably heard it on TV. They say we need 554 million people to all be praying the same thing, and then God's going to move. Like our prayers can move God that way. Folks, it doesn't matter how many people you have praying. God listens to one person. He'll listen to 5,000. I wish we had 55 million people praying. But God doesn't need to be changed. God can't be changed. Our prayers are not about manipulating God. Our prayers are to fall in line with what God has decreed. Religion wants to manipulate God and tell God what he ought to do, because this is what we want done. And after all, we are keeping the rules, and so you ought to bless us. That's not the way true relationship works. Why does a man try to please his wife? Hopefully because he loves her. Hopefully it's about that relationship. I know some people try to please their wives to manipulate them, get them to do what they want, but it's not supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be, I serve you because I love you. Why do children obey their parents? And I know sometimes it's because I don't want a spanking. But I really hope most of the time it's because I love my parents and they know better than I do. Why should we obey the Lord? I hope it's the same reason. I love him and he knows far better than I do. Folks, when it comes to your finances, who knows more about your finances than God? Nobody. I'm not against you having a financial advisor. I think it's a great thing. But you really need to go to God about your finances. You really need to go to God about how to raise your children. Which church should I attend? All that should be brought to the Lord in prayer. But the main thing in prayer is relationship. It's not about changing God and getting what I want. It's, Lord, I love you and I praise you for the wonderful gifts you've given. Help me to be more like you. Folks, relationship is so important. God is God all the time. He's 100% God at all the time. And he wants to be in communion with you. But as we already said, two can't walk together unless they be agreed. If we're going to walk with God intimately in relationship, the one who changes has to be me. Because God's not going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he wants to walk with you and I. So there's six major categories where religion and relationship differ. Number one is acceptance. How do we get accepted by God? Religion says the way you get accepted by God is to keep our rules. whatever that particular church rules are, if you keep our rules, you'll be close to God. But the problem is, each church has different rules. Which rules do you follow? And how closely do you have to follow them to earn your salvation? Relationship says, I obey the gospel because I love the Lord. I obey the gospel because I have a living relationship with my Lord. Motivation. Religion is based on fear. If I break the rules, God's going to bring down wrath from heaven on me, and so I'm going to keep the rules. True salvation, true relationship says, my God loves me, and I'm going to try to obey him. I'm going to fail. Religion fails too, folks. It isn't just the gospel that failed. I'm going to try to walk with my Lord, but when I fail, guess what? I know God still loves me. He wants me to repent. He wants me to turn around, but he's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. So the motivation is fear in religion. The motivation in relationship is love. God loves you, whether you know it or not. He loved you enough to die for you while you were still a sinner. He didn't wait for you to repent. He paid for your sins and mine on the cross 2,000 plus years ago now, in hopes that you would turn to him in faith and receive him as your Savior. He loves every single person in this room. Motivation. Religion says, I've got to obey God because that's how the blessings flow. If I don't obey God, the blessings are going to stop. Relationship says, I have to obey God because he simply is God. He knows far more, and he cares about a sinner like me. Circumstances. In religion, when things go wrong in my life, and they do for the religionists, they still go wrong just like they do for us, it's because I failed to go to church last week. That's why the car broke down. Folks, God's not like that. He's not like your boyfriend or girlfriend that every time you do something wrong, they're there to judge you and hurt you right back. God loves you, and he's not looking for every little flaw. He knows they're there, but he doesn't care. He loves you. Religion and circumstances, the gospel. When I do wrong, all I have to do is confess my sin, repent of it, turn to the Lord in faith, and he's going to wash it all away. He's going to forgive it. And so there's differences. Romans 8:28 says, we know, and that's talking about what you ought to know as a Christian, if you know the Word of God. We know that God works all things together for those that do two things, that love him and are called according to his purpose. Who's in charge of your desires? Is it you or is it God? Who's in charge of your life? Who makes the decisions for you? Oh, I'm my own person. You're basically in religion yet. Once you realize, I serve a risen Savior, he's in this world today, and he loves me, and he knows far more than I'll ever know. I am so glad to submit to him, because he's going to bring me blessings that I'll never get any other way. Relationship is so precious. Prayer life. Why do religious people pray? Because they want to manipulate God. The main part of their prayer is, I want, I want, I want, I need, I need, I need. Please do, please do, please do. What's prayer relationship for a true believer in Christ? It's mostly thanks. Thanks for what you've already done, Lord. All these blessings, and they're all mine. I just can't hardly believe it. Once in a while we have a request, and nothing wrong with that. But it shouldn't be all about what I want. It should be, Lord, what would you have? I want to submit myself to your will, because that's when the blessings start to flow. God knows if you're submitted or not. The main challenge is submission. In every single life, is God God in your life? Is he Lord of your life? Or are you just going through motion? Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that I say? It's so important for us to not get disgusted or disillusioned with the gospel, with the church, Because in this generation we live in, the church, I don't care if it's here or in England or Russia or China, the true church, I'm not talking about the church that's religion only, but the true church really is the pillar and foundation of the truth. People are dying and going to hell because the true church is not doing its job. We are here to make converts to the kingdom of God. This whole church time, the main function of every believer is to bring other believers into the family. Yes, your job is important. Yes, your family is important. Yes, I love sports too. But our main calling in our relationship is to bring more people into the family. And if you're missing that, you might be the greatest golfer, the greatest football player, the movie star that everybody loves, but you're missing the whole purpose of your life. God is building a kingdom, and you get to be one of those co-workers with Him. This is the time for us to spread the good news. The gospel is the greatest news ever. A sinful person like Jerry Larkin can come into the family of God and be changed. Not perfect in this life, but I'm going to be perfect pretty soon because I'm going to be in heaven, and it's going to make me absolutely perfect. So the question goes out here in Mark chapter 2, verse 18. John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" Jesus answered, "How can the guest of the bridegroom fast while he's with them? They cannot do so as long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskin will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins." And so the people are coming to Jesus and wanting to know, how come your disciples aren't fasting? Both John's disciples, John the Baptist, and the Pharisees' disciples, they fast all the time. But yours don't. What's going on? And so religion brings condemnation. You got to stand up and you got to compare yourself with everybody because everybody should be exactly like I am. Not like the Lord. They should be like I am. I'm religious and I keep all the rules and I fast on certain days and I do this and I do that. How come your disciples don't? Jesus is bringing a brand new thing. We talk about the New Testament, the New Covenant. He's bringing something new to the world. We've been saying the 21st century, we have to understand the church by what's going on today. No. If you really want to understand what the church is all about, you need to go back to the first century when Christ died and decide how did the church operate then, what was supposed to be going on, because 21st century is a long way. We're 2,000 years away from that time when the church started. And so the context, we have to look at the context of what Jesus is saying about his disciples now compared with John the Baptist, who was a godly man, and the Pharisees, who started out well but got off track. The Pharisees really made so many rules, it made the Bible look like a Sunday school book. I mean, they had rules on rules on rules. How come your disciples, Jesus, don't do what the religionists do? And Jesus is going to explain the difference. Jesus is one who goes to people who are sinners. Jesus said, "I did not come to save the righteous." Why didn't he come to save the righteous? Because there are none. Folks, nobody's righteous. I'm not righteous yet. I really strive to do what's right, but I fail. And I have to repent, I have to confess, I have to get it right, only to do what? Fail again sometimes. We're not religionists. We're relationship. When my children, when they were young, and they would do things I just told them 5 minutes before not to do, I didn't disown my children. They're mine. I love them. I might discipline them. In fact, I did quite a bit. But I want to tell you, they were mine, and I was going to make sure that they grew up to know right from wrong. That was my job. My Father in heaven loves me more than I ever loved my children. And I love my kids a lot. But I want to tell you, He loves us more. He's saying, leave behind your sin. When He went and started to choose His disciples, He chose one. Not just how come your disciples don't fast as others do, but He chose a man as one of His apostles that the world said there's no way that man can be saved. In fact, the Pharisees said, a tax collector can never be saved. What's wrong with the tax collector? Now, in our day, tax collectors are just kind of scribes. They write everything down. But in that day, the tax collectors were taxing the Jews for the nation of Rome. And the tax collectors could get what money was due to the Roman Empire, but then they would always add a little more for themselves. And so they were considered traitors to the Jewish nation. And the Jews said, there's no way. Well, Jesus chose a man named Levi, and he was a tax collector. But Jesus didn't leave him a tax collector. Jesus said, Levi, leave the tax booth and follow me. And the amazing thing was, Levi left a very lucrative career. Tax collectors were rich. Tax collectors had more than anybody else in the Jewish community. And he left it all to follow Jesus. And you say, why would he do that? Because again, Jesus came to save sinners. Levi was one. Levi didn't go out after he started following Jesus and take evangelism 101 in order to learn how to share the gospel. You know what Levi did the first thing? Levi threw a party, a big party, for all of his other tax collector friends, all the people that were looked down by the Jews, and he had a big party. And he invited Jesus to the big party. And at the big party, Jesus led many of those tax collectors and sinners to faith in Christ. Folks, sometimes you don't have to go door-to-door calling. Now, we go door-to-door calling, trying to win people we don't know. But you can have a big party. You can invite a lot of people to come to your party. And at the party, you can present the gospel. When our family gets together for Easter or Christmas, and this has been going on for 50-plus years, I always try to present the gospel. Why? Because now there's new members in the family that have never heard it. Every year in our family, somebody has a child, almost every year. That's another person that has to be brought in. Folks, parties are wonderful. Pharisees thought, how can you have a party with a tax collector and sinners? Folks, it's a welcoming party. It's not a drunken orgy. It's something that the Lord calls us to. In Mark chapter 2, verse 15, it says, well, Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house. Many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples. And there were many who followed him. Folks, in every party you have an opportunity to present the gospel. Now, it doesn't always fit, but it can. When we first got saved, one of the things we prayed to the Lord was that we would have a way, because our family, this was before we had our kids, our family, every Christmas, everybody got together at one of the brothers or sisters' homes, and we had a Christmas party. Once we got saved, we wanted to share the gospel with our family, but we didn't know how. And so we prayed specifically the Lord would give us a musical instrument, a stereo player, to play Christian music in the background. And the Lord answered prayer. You want to talk about specific prayer answered? You try to do God's will, He'll answer your prayer. It was wonderful. Nobody got saved that year, but they did later. When I got saved, I had 6 brothers and 1 sister. My sister was already saved. All my brothers were lost, but one by one, they all came to faith, all except the oldest. I don't know if he ever did. He's either in heaven or hell now. I don't know which. You can have a party, and you can present the gospel, and the Lord did. Religious people have an overwhelming fear of relationship. They don't want anybody dealing with their salvation except themselves and the way they think it should be. Relationship people, understand the gospel, that there's no way I could save myself. And God bore my sin on that cross. We sang that Jesus had all of our sin on his shoulders. And he did. He paid for the price of all mankind's sin. Religion says you have to earn it. Relationship says that Christ has already earned it for you. All you must do is believe. Again, in Mark chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, 'How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?'" Religion always compares itself to everybody else. My religion is better than your religion, and you have to do it my way. Relationship doesn't have to worry about that a bit. When I talk with Lutherans, I'm not talking to them about how do you baptize. When I talk to Catholics, I'm not talking to them about rules. I'm giving them the gospel of Christ. That's all they need. We don't need to debate everything that's different one church to another. We don't have to prove that we're better than they are. We love them to a relationship with Christ. If a church is founded on rules, none of those people are going to be saved. You cannot be saved by keeping rules. That's religion. The Pharisees fasted. I don't know if you know this or not, but how many times does the Bible say a person should fast in a year? For the Jews, it was one time a year. It was Yom Kippur, the day of Passover. They were commanded to fast. That's the only time. The Pharisees said, "We're going to fast twice a week. We're going to fast 104 times a year." Man, if God's pleased with one time a year, imagine how pleased he's going to be with 104 times a year. Is God really pleased with you following the rules and then making the rules bigger and bigger and bigger? It doesn't please him at all. What God wants with you is relationship. What religion does, religion takes what God has said and tries to use it to wrestle people to do what they want them to do. Relationships takes people right where they are and seeks to get them to do what God tells them to do. Folks, what do you have today? Do you have a living relationship with Jesus Christ? Or are you still trying to get to heaven by keeping a list of rules? A relationship starts here. "Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I believe with all my heart you shed your blood on that cross to pay for my sin. And today, Lord, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." That starts a relationship. And that relationship, truly, when you give your whole heart, never going to end. You can walk away from it, and God is coming right after you. Because now you're what? You're one of his kids. He will not forsake you for any reason. The Bible says a true Christian cannot stay in sin. It doesn't say you can't get in sin, but you will not be able to stay in it. The Holy Spirit's going to convict your heart if you're a child of God, and you are going to repent. You're going to get it right, because God will not forget his own. Faith is the victory that overcomes this world, and you can have it. You can have a personal relationship. You can become a son or daughter of God today or tomorrow, or next week, or next year, if you have next week or next year. I can't tell you everybody in this room is going to be here next week. I could be gone. I don't know who's going first. But I'll guarantee you, we're going to go one by one. And you don't want to wait too long. Make sure that you are born into God's family. Make sure that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because the rules cannot save anybody. You can keep every rule that God has given, and if you fail in one thing, you're guilty of it all. Folks, don't let people get you caught in religion. Get caught in a living relationship. Father, we are so grateful for your word. We're grateful, Lord, that you've called us to be sons and daughters of God. Sons and daughters born of the Spirit, not a natural physical birth, but a spiritual birth. becoming your son or daughter. Father, bless each person here. Give them faith. Father, faith, even the faith to believe, is a gift of God. It's not by works, so nobody can boast, but it is purely by faith. And Lord, we're going to give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen.